When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Hickster, what do you got?
Well, Zach, guess what? Kyrie Irving is back at it again.
Don't speculate about anybody's future, especially mine.
Especially his, but he is free, though, to speculate on other people's futures because,
hypocrite,
according to Shams Charania, Irving has reached out to LeBron James and asked him about joining the Mavericks this offseason. Now, logistically, acquiring James is very difficult considering the Mavericks did give up a first-round pick and two second-round picks along with two role players in their trade to get Kyrie back in February. Now, right now, Irving is scheduled to, or not scheduled, is a free agent. And in order to make it work in terms of him, Luka, and LeBron on the same team, both LeBron and Kyrie would need to take pay cuts in order for it to work. So, all that said, onsides or offsides, LeBron James will be a Dallas Maverick on opening night.
This may be the easiest question you've ever asked me. I don't know if LeBron James even wants to leave the Los Angeles Lakers, but like you said, logistically, it is a nightmare to get this deal done, and you would probably need to do a sign and trade to get Kyrie to Los Angeles, but why would the Lakers ever contemplate that? Why would Rob Pelinka, who's not a stupid man, ever give or want to take on a long-term deal for Kyrie Irving? And I could not see Kyrie going along with the plan when he wanted to be in Dallas with LeBron to then say, oh yeah, LeBron will get to Dallas and I'll go to Los Angeles in a sign and trade. I think LeBron is back in the NBA next year. I think LeBron is back with the Los Angeles Lakers. And LeBron James won't be a Maverick on opening night. So you ask me, LeBron James will be a Dallas Maverick on opening night. Offside.
Offside.
Let's, for a second, throw the logistics out the window. Let's live in a fantasy world and pretend.
So your world.
The possibility of Luka, Kyrie, and LeBron James could logistically happen and be on the same team.
Yeah.
How dangerous would that team be together? Now, coming off the Mavs, I should say, are coming off a season which they went 8-12 with the dynamic duo of Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving playing together. They missed the playoffs, as you remember, all together.
That's
after
not a
tanking.
Dynamic duo. That's a disastrous duo.
That's probably
whenever
a better
Kyrie
use of the D
is
word.
A part of the duo, outside of him leaving Cleveland, like once he's left Cleveland, it's been a disastrous duo everywhere he's gone.
And he took a team in the firm grip of the playoffs and helped them drop right out, and they missed the playoffs
with the play-in
altogether.
Tournament. With a play-in tournament in this spineless Silvers NBA, he has a play-in tournament. I know they were tanking at the end, but it's because they lost all those games originally.
They were going for the title and ended up, like you said, being the 11th team in the West. Boy, oh boy.
Kyrie.
So Kyrie did not produce a lot of winning. LeBron James, though, on the other hand, has come off a very solid season for his 20th year, in which he scored 28.9 points per game on 50% shooting from the field. Onsides or offsides? A Mavericks team of Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, and LeBron James would be the favorites next season in the West.
Wait, can I even speculate about this? I know Kyrie doesn't want me to do any speculation on his future. So this means he would be staying in Dallas. And if he's going to throw out to Shams Charania that LeBron James could potentially be joining him or he's trying to get LeBron there, wouldn't that make us speculate that Kyrie wants to stay with the Dallas Mavericks? So there's a lot of speculation there. I don't think Kyrie wants me to speculate at all, Hot Take Hickey. Are you sure?
I'm sure, because if Kyrie can speculate about LeBron's future, then I think in this case, one off, we can then speculate on Kyrie's future.
I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, especially
no,
with Kyrie
not.
Irving.
Zach Gelb Show, where no one's feelings get hurt, ever.
Besides yours.
Ever. Everyone included. Myself.
A Mavericks team with Luka, Kyrie, and LeBron would be favorites in the West. Just because you're the favorite doesn't mean you're actually going to win it. And I could definitely see Vegas in the West being disrespectful to Denver again. Who knows when John Morant's actually going to play with Memphis. The Kings, I'm sure people will think they'll regress. The Suns, they got Durant, they got Booker. What else do they have? It looks like CP3 will be back, but they're trying to get rid of DeAndre Ayton. The Clippers are never healthy. Who knows who's going to be in Golden State next year? You know what? They would be the favorite to get out of the West. I would not place a wager on them because LeBron the last few years has not been able to stay healthy. Kyrie, maybe he'll go to his like 13th birthday party or something like that of a family member, and you can never trust that dude. And also, I don't know if LeBron and Luka are a fit. Like, I get the idea of it. LeBron needs someone else that could go out there and go get his, and clearly Luka Doncic can do that. And Luka Doncic right now in the year 2023 is a better player than LeBron James. But I think they're similar. So I look around. I do think they would make them the favorite, but I would not be placing that bet. So to answer your question, yeah, that Mavericks team would be the favorite to get out of the West from an odds standpoint, but you wouldn't see Zach Gell put any money on that. So on sides.
All right, let's leave fantasy world.
Let me ask you this. Do you think they'd be the favorite?
No, I would not make them my favorite. I would still say the Nuggets.
Do you think Vegas would make them the favorite? Because you know Vegas would go very sexy and would get people to...
But that's the thing, like...
To put them over Denver.
The tough part is part of Vegas is trying to make you bet on it. So I could see them making them the favorite in order to get people to put money on
exactly,
it.
Exactly, knowing that that team's not going to go to the NBA Finals.
So that's a tricky part of just like Vegas sometimes, in their mind, won't believe something, but will believe what people will put money on. And yeah, that's obviously what their goal is.
And also, let's remember, there's no super team right now in the NBA. If that trio forms... Whatever we say about Kyrie, whether you like Kyrie or not, or still believe he's a star is what I should say. He's a great player on the court. The problem is he's just never on the court enough. That would be deemed as that next super team in the NBA.
Super team on toothpicks, basically. Oh, keeping them up, that's for sure.
What do you mean super team on toothpicks?
Well, I'm trying to think of like an unstable base. Like, that's exactly what it would be like. Think about how top heavy that would be where Kyrie Irving barely plays.
On toothpicks.
LeBron's having trouble staying healthy. Yeah. We saw Kyrie and Luka go from in the playoffs to totally out of the playoffs. Is LeBron James saving that team?
Gotcha.
Maybe, but nowhere near to a championship level. That's for sure. All right, let's go talk real hoops.
I didn't think we'd be talking about toothpicks tonight.
Well, that's what you get in Dallas right now if you put that trio together.
I do like when I go to a restaurant, you're walking out of the restaurant, they have toothpicks right at the door. I like that.
I feel like that's a dad move. You get the toothpick?
My grandfather used to do it all the time.
So I feel like it's an older gentleman sort of thing where it's like you get the toothpick, you unravel, and then you're just picking your teeth for like the next half hour.
No, I like to be classy. I want to make sure that all the food's out of the teeth. Especially when you have a big steak dinner or something like that.
You go to the bathroom and look? That's my move.
Oh, if the stuff's still in your teeth, got to use a toothpick to get
it
out.
You got to finagle it out, but I've never found myself in a situation in a restaurant where I needed a toothpick.
Oh. When you eat the same pasta meal each
when
and
you
every
eat peanut
night,
butter and
that's
jelly, that's the best case scenario.
I don't know what you want me to say here.
No PB&J stuck in my teeth.
When you have the diet of a middle school child like you do, I don't think you're going to be needing a toothpick.
I eat steak. Just let the record show.
Yeah, and then you get food poisoning.
Well,
I haven't heard
true.
About many steak dinners ever since your food
I
poisoning.
I have not had steak from a restaurant since.
Yeah.
That's,
did you have cat meat that night or something like that?
That was tough. That was, yeah, I felt for a second I was not making it.
You sure that was a cow that was on your plate?
I'm glad I made it to Phoenix a few days late, but better late than never.
Yeah, I still question if you actually had food poisoning.
Well, why would I miss two days of the Super Bowl?
We didn't see any photos of the vomit or anything like that, or like
who
you
gets
hugging
sick
the toilet.
And says, hold on, let me show you what I'm working with here.
I think you looked at it okay.
Oh,
Super Bowl week, Monday,
goodness.
Tuesday isn't as active. Hickey will just show up for the big Wednesday.
I've never been to the Super Bowl.
Little vacation,
what do
all
I
that.
Know?
Get away from Zach. I just think it was too convenient that you showed up in Arizona and you were all but you were perfectly fine. And you were texting me less than 24 hours before that you were like basically on your deathbed. I just thought it was fugazi.
And this is my 20th Super Bowl. Maybe I consider it. My first one ever.
Your ego has been insufferable lately, I'll just
say. Holy, that is, for someone who thought they were going to die that night, that is insulting.
Yeah, come on.
That is insulting.
Maybe if you used a toothpick when you were leaving the place, you would have had that little extra piece of meat.
You know what? Maybe that was the difference. Shame on me.
That ended up having the food poisoning on it.
Shame on me for disrespecting the toothpaste. Yeah. That could have been the difference between a night from hell and going to Phoenix for the Super Bowl on time.
That's like a curb skit.
Kind of is. That is for sure. Holy cow.
Holy cow, yeah.
That was
you didn't have a good cow that night, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Oof. All right, let's talk some hoops. Miami Heat, they've been disrespected. They've been through sometimes hell, but they've also been back. As they did tie up the series last night, 1-1 after a huge fourth quarter, in which they outscored the Nuggets 36-25. Miami, earlier in the first half, was able to withstand a 40-14 run by Denver.
Oof.
Wow. They were led by Gabe Vincent's 23 points. Game 3 on Wednesday does shift to Miami, where the Heat are 7-3 at home in this postseason, including the two play-in games. Onsides or offsides, the Heat will win the NBA Finals.
That's offside. I'm still thinking that Denver wins this. I'll go with my original prediction, Denver in 6. I know you could equally argue this, that Jimmy Butler hasn't showed up yet, so you should feel good about it from a Miami standpoint since you got one. You could say the same thing about Denver. They haven't played their best yet. Jamal Murray really hasn't been the great Jamal Murray that we're used to, and we know how valuable Jamal Murray is to Denver winning it all. I still think the better team ends up winning here. And I just trust more of Denver's 1-2 punch than Miami's 1-2 punch. I give a lot of credit to Bam Adebayo. He is a huge key for Miami to win this series. You said that going in. Bam has been pretty much flawless through the first two games. But I will trust Jokic and Murray more than I will Bam Adebayo and whatever's going on with Jimmy Butler right now, because he has not been great as of late. And he has not played a great game in a while. So I will say offside when you ask me if the Heat will win the NBA Finals. I'm still going Denver in 6.
Offside.
Let's talk a little football. DeAndre Hopkins, according to The Athletic, is searching for the Benjamins this offseason, not the wins. According to two league executives, Hopkins is searching for the equivalent of what Odell Beckham Jr. received from the Ravens, which was a one-year, $15 million deal. Could be a little accelerated as well, or a little increase, I should say.
I'll admit something.
With some incentives.
I thought that was a two-year deal, Odell Beckham Jr. I know it's a one-year, $15 million deal, but I remember the money being a little bit absurd, so I just assumed that it was a two-year deal. But that being a one-year, 15 guaranteed, and to be fair, when Odell was with the Rams, he exceeded expectations, caught that touchdown in the Super Bowl, but then to miss an entire year and still get $15 million guaranteed on only a one-year deal? That's actually very surprising. Good job by Odell and his agent.
Good job, and they have set the market now for free agent wide receivers.
And you'd rather have Hopkins.
Yes. Oh, yes. I would agree with that. I think most teams probably would agree with that as well. So if he's looking for the Odell deal, 1 year, $15 million in that range, that then makes both the Chiefs and Bills long shots since they basically have about $1 million or so in cap space available. Onsides or offsides, Zach, DeAndre Hopkins is making a mistake by prioritizing money over winning.
I know the guy's all the money in the world, but it's tough for me to crush him and say he's making a mistake since he's looking for $15 million a year. If I was him and I pretty much accomplished all I could, yeah, I would go to Kansas City. It's the easiest decision, you probably ever make. But if you're only going to make $1 million, I know there's right money that he'll still be owed from the Cardinals contract, but this new team only $1 million, that does seem pretty damn light. So, you know what? I should answer this. I'm going to just be full disclosure, Hickey. You know, I tell you to separate what he should do and what he will do. This is going to benefit my football team because I'm convinced that my football team is going to get him in the New England Patriots. So you say DeAndre Hopkins make a mistake by prioritizing money over winning? You're probably right. But in this case, since it's going to benefit my football team, I'm going to be like you. I'm going to be like Homer Hickey today. I'm going to be Homer Gelb on this one. He's not making a mistake. No, absolutely not. Not making a mistake because he's going to the Patriots. Offside.
Let me ask you this really, really fast then.
Offside.
Let's just say, argument.
He should go to the Chiefs.
He signs with the Patriots for $15 million. Let's just say $15 million. He gets what he wants this year, 1 year deal. Is that what opens up the door? I guess for more long term money. Is it going and getting the $15 million now, or if you sign the Chiefs, let's say for $1 million, good year, win a Super Bowl, be the number one wide receiver. He's going to be 31 tomorrow. Happy early birthday to you. Or 32 tomorrow, I should say.
Oh,
happy
so
birthday,
DeAndre Hopkins. Perfect for him tomorrow to sign with the Patriots. Also, happy birthday to you. Get him to New England. Let's go.
I guess ask you this. Would you feel comfortable if he has a really solid year in Kansas City this year? He'll be 33 next year. Would you feel comfortable giving him like a 3-4 year, $50 million deal?
Yeah, front load it though.
I mean, so would I. I was more asking, you know, if you're Hopkins, you can have a
long. The guy missed 8 games last year. I'm pretty sure he missed 8 games because he had 6 of the suspension. He missed 2 at the end of the year. And he still put up 11 yards per catch. How many total yards did he end? He still had 717 yards and 64 receptions.
Production machine. That's what I'm saying. If he gets still playing.
That's 9 games.
Maybe a pay cut on a contender this year is not the worst thing in terms of getting yourself set up for one last big deal.
Once again, 100% he should go sign with Kansas City. But what he will do is sign with the New England Patriots. I was trying to just be like you, where I'm just going to answer with how I want it to go to work to my advantage.
I miss your objectivity. I think that's fair to say. I think any normal person listening to the show would agree as well.
Yeah. Okay. Colts are going to be a good team last year. How'd that work out?
Speaking of questionable futures.
Objectivity, though.
I was not the only one on the Colts last year winning the division. I didn't say Super Bowl. I said win the division.
You also weren't the only one on the Colts last year that was gambling.
Well, that's also true, which is maybe why they're losing so much.
Now, here's the difference with you and what's the player again? The
Isaiah
Colts?
Rogers.
Isaiah
senior.
Rogers. He may have been gambling against his team. We know for sure Hickey was gambling on his team.
Well, look, call me a sucker, come a lot of things. I have never lost money on the Colts because I've never bet on the Colts, especially last year.
Never in your life?
No.
Even
no
when
chance.
You're confident?
This is the issue. I rarely bet Met games. I don't bet, like, I that's where I
well,
can't
you know
separate
why.
Heart from head. So I don't bet my teams.
Folks, there you go. Because he knows he's a mush. He knows he's part of the Hickey Hats.
No, because I always go into a game thinking they're going to win this game.
Yes,
they have no chance. And
yes.
I can easily talk to myself and, oh, yeah,
liar.
I'll throw a few bucks on it. And then when they lose and then don't cover,
mush. Then
I'm doubly mad.
Yo,
and
mush.
Then it's, so I just
yo, mush.
Stay away.
Just embrace it. You're a mush, kid.
I want to be smart with my bets, not dumb, so that's why I stay away from the teams I love.
Yeah, you're mush.
Doesn't work either way, but anyway. Dalvin Cook, his future's up in the air. Albert Breer did report recently that a trade between the Vikings and Dolphins was about to send the running back to Miami. It was nearly done before the draft, but as we know, did not come to fruition. Reasons are not given. Now, Cook is under contract for the Vikings for another 3 seasons. Onsides or offsides. Dalvin Cook will be on the Dolphins next season, a.k.a. 2023.
If you would have asked me this last week, I would have said yes. I don't see at this point why you would just outright release him if you are the Minnesota Vikings. So I do think they should keep him in Minnesota for this year. So Dalvin Cook will be on the Dolphins this season. I will go offside.
Offsides.
Closing bell next. Zach Kelce, CBS Sports Radio.
Mountain Dew Zero Sugar asks, ever wonder what it would be like to live in an alternate universe? Well, friends, welcome to the alternate universe of Mountain Dew Zero Sugar. Because even though it says zero sugar right there on the bottle, when you crack one open and try it, the taste is nothing less than outrageously delicious. Hey, transport yourself to an alternate universe with Mountain Dew Zero Sugar. Zero sugar, all do.
Quit your thirst at Quality Mart today, where you can get 220 ounce ice cold Mountain Dews for only $3.50. Mountain Dew and Quality Mart, do the do.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, let's start things off with Trey Richardson, TCU baseball player. Unbelievable what he did the other day. He had 3 home runs in one game, 11 RBIs in one game, 2 grand slams, and then another home run. Yeah, try to process that one. That is just absolute insanity. And what some are saying of the year of the Horned Frogs. Really? Make the college football playoff, and then you have this success that they're having right now in the college baseball postseason. But tied for the most in an NCAA tournament game, 11 RBIs for Trey Richardson. Once again, 3 home runs, 2 grand slams. Give him a stock up. All right, we'll keep things moving. Jamal Murray. He's been phenomenal for Denver. First NBA Finals game, it was good. But last night, he needed to play a lot better, and he was streaky. And he only ended up the game with 18 points. I know he made some shots late, but he missed that last three-pointer that would have sent the game to overtime. Jamal Murray, I've been saying it all year, Nikola Jokic is their best player. Jamal Murray, to win a championship, is their most valuable player. We need to see Jamal Murray going back to what he's been for most of this postseason, and I'm assuming it will happen in Game 3. But for now, give Jamal Murray a stock down. Let's go to Adam Silver. This was on NBA TV. He explained, Spineless Silver, what the in-season tournament will look like.
I think the notion there is like taking a page from international soccer, where they have other things to compete for, not just, in our case, the Larry O'Brien Trophy. So we're actually taking, for the most part, a series of games, regular season games, and we're designating those as tournament games, kind of like what they do in European soccer. And so those games will count both for the regular season and for this in-season tournament. And then the four teams that are still standing will come together, and we'll go to a neutral site. We haven't designated that site yet. Okay. And then they'll play for a separate, you know, in essence, a separate trophy. And it'll be a new tradition. It'll probably take a little bit while to get it going. But, you know, I think what you guys know in this league, it's a long season to play for one championship at the end, and it's not going to replace the Larry O'Brien Trophy, but it's our hope that, just like in college, there's a lot of, you know, there's a Thanksgiving tournament or a holiday tournament, yep, and guys who play in those tournaments, they care about winning. It's not a replacement for the NCAA tournament, but it's to give a little bit more, something more special, a little bit more incentive around those games.
Why would I risk, if I'm one of the teams who's trying to win the Larry O'Brien Trophy, what's in it for me to play in that tournament? We already having a hard time getting these guys to play.
It's an absolutely fair question. We've talked to players a lot about it. First of all of the games except for the games also count towards the regular season. Okay. So you have the same incentive to care about your record. And there's prize money, and it's significant.
Are we serious? This commissioner has lost so much control of his sport. Now he needs to offer the players more money when they already make enough money as it is with how ridiculous some of these NBA contracts are, just so they could play more in the regular season, a few more games in this in-season tournament that's going to be going on in December when no one's going to give a rat's ass, because you'll have football right towards the end of their regular season, and then you'll also have college football right in a big stretch for college football as well. Like, Hickey, this commissioner and Adam Silver is just a big fat joke. Give him a stock down. Let's go to Victor Hovland. He won the Memorial Tournament, made $3.6 million, and then today he was caddying for a college teammate of his who was trying to qualify for the U.S. Open. I love Victor Hovland. He's been close. He's been knocking on the door to winning a major. I may have to push Patrick Cantlay to the curb, Hickey, in terms of just betting on him, and now make Victor Hovland my guy. I like Victor Hovland, and I've bet on him a few times. I've come close, but yet so far, give Victor Hovland a stock up. I got to give a stock up to Kyrie Irving. I appreciate how obnoxious he could be a week ago, saying don't speculate basically on his future. But then he leaks to Shams Charani, or someone in his camp did, that he's talking to LeBron James, who's only going to further speculate where what's going to happen with Kyrie Irving this offseason. I, you know, as much as I don't want to praise him, Hickey, I got to praise him because he always finds a way to get himself in the news even when he doesn't want to be in the news. Give a stock up to Kyrie Irving. And finally, the Miami Heat, just a heck of a job last night getting that victory, making it 1-1. Now everyone's saying, okay, this is going to be an NBA Finals. I still think Denver is going to win the series in six, but you saw late in the game, Duncan Robinson show up. Gabe Vincent was really good all throughout, and the Miami Heat now go back to Miami coming up on Wednesday for Game 3 with this series tied up at one apiece. So give the Miami Heat a stock up. And that is the closing bell on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Final poll calculations for today, which you can always find that on the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb, at CBS Sports Radio. Who wins the NBA Finals? The responses: Denver in 5 or 6, Miami in 5 or 6, Denver in 7, or Miami in 7. Hickey, what's your vote here? I'm going Denver in 6. What say you?
Denver in 6.
So you went from posting that shower video, it's over, to now Denver's going to be winning this baby in 6 games. How about that?
Still over. Same thing.
Oh, no respect you have. No respect whatsoever. You're not taking the Miami Heat seriously. Shame on you. Miami in 5 or 6 at 10%. Denver in 7 at 11.3%. Miami in 7 at 18.8%. So that's people telling you that if Miami's going to win this, they have to go win this in 7. That's what people believe in them if it's a game 7. Or sitting there at 60% of the vote, Denver in 5 or 6. Once again, at 60% of the vote.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.